I got a number. I got a number. I got a number. Hey, 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 hey!
Trisha's cheating on me.
Welcome to Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast for your dose of dish.
And welcome back to another episode of Gay Talk 2.0, the ultimate podcast, streaming live on Digital Stream Radio. You can listen live every Monday night at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time by visiting digitalstreamradio.com. On today's episode, we're going to welcome Jason Davis, the author of My Pops the Top, a witty picture book penned from the point of view of a young African-American boy growing up in a same-sex couple household. It's full of innocent-looking illustrations about a gay boy and his gay fathers. Pop is a hot Latino, and Daddy, an older white Caucasian man. We will chat with Jason Davis and talk about his work on the second half of the show. My name is Tom, and I'm your host, and I'm here with my friends and co-hosts, starting with the first one.
Hey, y'all. Nick or Trish.
And
good to be with you guys. It's Chris.
And welcome you all to
The Dish.
Why is our elusive guest flicking me off?
What'd she do? She nasty.
Oh, he's back in studio.
That's because she got that big thing she's about to put in her mouth.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's all right.
All right.
Well, he was trying to offer you a piece of his food, and you were like, no, I don't want it because it's like solid food.
First of all, I only shame eat when I'm at home.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's a piece of lettuce.
All right.
I've gained a little bit of weight.
I was told that you eat a little bit of cotton as well.
Oh, yeah. I guess I eat tissue paper.
Yeah. Whenever you get hungry, just to sort of kind of settle your stomach down.
I saw her shame eat yesterday. She was fucking deep throating that Swiss burger at the restaurant when we went out. And add bacon. No, it was no bun. But could you put bacon on that?
Yeah.
But, I mean, we've got a new segment that we are starting as of today's episode, where we're going to basically review our week as host, what we've done for the week, etc. And we also have another interesting segment, which Nick, care to explain?
Yes!
All right. Well, do
so
that.
As our listeners know, I took over the Gay Talk Insta.
Yeah.
And you should follow us at Gay Talk 20, right?
On Instagram, yes.
Yes, Gay Talk 20.
No, it's actually 2.0. Gay Talk 2.0.
It's 2.0. Okay.
Yeah, Gay Talk 2.0. You should totally follow us. But anyway, I started posting today in LGBTQ history, but on Mondays, we are going to, instead of post it, talk about what's going on for that day. So
that's amazing. And there are very, very good facts. So we're going to have that later on in the show. That episode, that segment is going to be called On This Day in Gay History. So you can expect a lot of fun facts coming your way from us here on the show. But let's talk about our cocktail. So it is 9/11. So
you spelled cocktail wrong in the notes. I'm just saying.
All right. Well,
yes, you did. Not me.
Fixed it.
Oh, okay. Well, it is 9/11, and I'd like to say that, you know, it is one of the most poignant remembrances every year as the years pass by. You know, it's been 16 years since, you know, the tragedy that occurred here in the United States on 9/11. And
I think for us, it's like, it's that one day, it's like you remember where you were, like
absolutely,
that moment. Like,
people had Pearl Harbor, they had the JFK shooting, to the Challenger going down. 9/11 was the one
for me.
Yeah, same for me.
And I knew exactly where I was when, you know, those planes started hitting the Twin Towers and when it hit the Pentagon and the plane crashed in Pennsylvania. And so I'd like to dedicate this episode to every single lost person that, you know, every single soul that we lost that day on September 11th, 2011. It was, I remember, if I recall correctly, it was a Tuesday.
I don't remember.
Unbelievable. The response that the world gave the United States of America and how we came together as a nation and really said, no, this is never going to happen in our country again.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's crazy about it? And I'm not trying to diminish it by any means, but this happens in other countries every day. And that impact that we felt that one moment, it's crazy to think that kids grow up feeling that way almost every day.
Mm-hmm. Well,
this doesn't happen to that magnitude every day,
right,
but I get what you mean.
Yeah.
You know, in places in the Middle East or in Africa, these kind of attacks are every day.
Yeah.
acts for
but
people.
But I think it was the fact that it happened on U.S. soil. I mean, the last time that we had a significant explosion on U.S. soil prior to 9/11, if I recall correctly, was the Oklahoma City bombing.
Right.
Where Timothy McVeigh blew up and completely destroyed one half side of a federal building that killed many.
Including lots of children.
Of course.
And this wasn't the first attack on the World Trade Centers. I mean, they had been bombed. I believe a truck was driven into the basement parking garage.
In 1993, I believe.
It was definitely in the early 90s. Yep. And it failed to take down the buildings.
I remember that. You know what the weird thing is? That Mariah Carey released an album on both of those days. The days that the 1993 bombing, she had just come out with her self-titled album right before Music Box. It was Mariah Carey. And then on 9/11, she released Glitter. And it was a complete bomb. And the movie came out that same day. I remember I was so excited. I wanted to go see it, and I completely just said, fuck this. I'm going home.
Yeah.
I'm sitting my ass in my house. And
speaking of which, I want to watch that movie. Out.
So Glitter, it was okay.
No, I loved it. Yeah, I like love Mariah, though. So
yeah, but she's okay at some point.
No, I mean, like, she busted out her pipes. She don't really have a voice no more, but
she was still...
Back in the day, her voice would just float.
What? Ugh. It was amazing. But anyway, let's talk about our cocktail, because it does have a very, very honorable theme, and I'll let Christopher take
right.
that.
And like here. We said, you know, 16 years ago to this day, terrorist hijacked 4 U.S. passenger planes. And crashed them into the World Trade Centers, the Pentagon, and one landed in a field in Pennsylvania. And these terrorists, you know, they hit our hearts, but they never broke the American spirit.
Not at all.
So that's what our cocktail today is, the American spirit. And it's very beautiful, and it's very delicious. And I'll go ahead and explain it so we can keep moving on with the show.
Absolutely.
The American spirit consists of 1.5 ounces, or a little bit more, acai spirit. We're using acai berry flavored vodka, 1 ounce sliced strawberries, 3 ounces club soda, 2 ounces coconut water, and you garnish it with blueberries. You place the strawberries at the bottom of the glass, add the ice and all the liquids, stir it up, and then garnish with blueberries, and you got a red, white, and blue looking cocktail.
It's beautiful. Actually, everything just floats perfectly, so when you look at the glass, well, not now.
Not anymore, but when it first came out.
it really resembled the American colors, so very thoughtful, Chris. Thank you for looking that up and for making it, because it was very delicious.
My pleasure for you boys.
So... it's been quite an interesting week. So let's go into our weekly review for our co-host. Nick, would you like to start? What
sure.
was your week like?
Well, my week was actually a little bit crazy at work, but I'm going to let that all go. We're not going to get into that.
I want to talk about your little getaway with this one.
Okay.
You went away
Me?
Somewhere.
Yeah. So for our listeners, on Saturdays, Chris, I have Saturdays off, and Chris had... after he gets off work, we usually get together and have a couple beers somewhere locally.
A couple.
And of course, I never attend because I'm always working
right.
at the bar. Boo.
So this week, I texted him. I was like, okay, well, what are we doing tonight? And he was like, I'll text you when I get off. And then he called me, and he was, by the way, I was on my squatty potty when he called me.
Yeah,
squatty potty. Love you, Dookie. so
he's
he called
right
me.
Over
he
there
like,
next to our mystery guest.
He was like, so my brother is in a metal band, and he's doing a benefit concert up in my hometown. And I was like, oh, okay.
And I honey, mean, it was metal.
Oh yeah, oh yeah, 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 yeah.
Hardcore.
Yeah, I mean, and so I was like, well, maybe I guess I'll go with you. Fine.
Like, you want company? I'm like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, as long as you're aware that it's a very straight rednecky dive bar.
Yeah, and it definitely was. So he picked me up about 10, and then we headed on up. And Chris, do you have anything to add?
So we walk in.
Well, first he stole my fucking glasses because he can't see.
I did. They're mine now. Exactly. I definitely recommend checking that video because that's hilarious. I had to steal her glasses because I can't see at night, and I had precious cargo in the car, so I needed vision.
Yeah, and he put the glasses on. He looked like some geek from, I don't know, some sci-fi movie.
I don't give a fuck. I could see. I don't care what
though.
I looked like.
I thought it was cute.
So we got up there, and... we're pre-gaming at my parents' house. We were going to stay there for the night. So we go to the bar. We walk in. My brother is the lead singer. He's the last group that went on. And he's, like, screaming. And I'm like, whoa, this is not my kind of music. Trish screams, Chaz. He looks over in front of the whole bar. He's like, oh, everyone, this is my baby brother. Like, in front of this whole crowd. And I'm like in the middle of where the mosh is about to commence. So I like gave him a hug, my sister-in-law hug, and I like moved the fuck out of there because I was not going to get mosh pitted.
And of course, now you're walking into this bar. I'm assuming it's a straight bar, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a divey straight
heavy
bar.
This was,
we love it.
Chris talked about the great hot dogs up there. He told me not to eat the
sham dogs. And you remembered it on the way up.
So, how did they take you, Trish? Because when you walk into places, you walk into places very flamboyantly. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know.
I'm not going to hide who I am.
She did ask me if she'd take the rainbow anklet off her foot.
Yeah, I did ask that question. Because, you know, if you're going to go somewhere, even though I'm super gay and everybody can tell, I don't want to throw it in people's faces if they're going to be assholes about it.
I think you'd do that without even knowing.
Right? I know. It's the hip-hopping shit.
You're extra.
Yeah,
like
totally
super
extra. But, so...
Remember Planet Trisha?
What?
Planet Trisha?
I have a planet?
Yes, because remember we said you're so extra, Pluto can't even hold you.
Oh, that's right.
Planet.
It's actually unicorn. It's a unicorn planet.
it's covered in rainbows.
Unicorn planet, give it up for feathers. Ooh, Cadillac, it's Tom Cruise. Yeah, planet unicorn, hey. Anyway.
Continue.
So we show up, and I go up to the bar, and I order a round of shots for him and his friends, because we were meeting his friends and whatnot. And this guy next to us, I said some cheers, and he was like, hey, that's really cool. I was like, oh, yeah. And he was like, hey, I'm so-and-so. And I was like, hi, I'm Nick, blah, 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 blah. And then I walk outside, and I'm standing with Chris and his sister, and we're just chatting. We're just like talking about we're actually talking about breast milk.
Literally. I'm like, this is what we talk about with my family when you come around, talking about freezing your breast milk for
your
later.
Your family
and stuff.
Loved me.
They did. It's
breast
gross.
Milk. Yeah. Yes. I can't.
But so this guy then walks up to me in a straight dive bar in Somers, Connecticut, walks up to me and he's like,
Suffield,
whatever. And he was like, so here's my number if you ever want to get a drink or something. And Chris is standing right next to me, and he's just like, what? Like, is this for real? And I just look at him, I'm like, what?
But you were at a bar already. Why didn't he buy you a drink then?
I don't know.
I'm just saying, the balls on this guy. Like, Nick and I are clearly... I mean, I'm standing so close to Nick, so
they're
we probably look like a couple. Hashtag, we're not a couple. But this bitch just comes between us and is like, excuse me. And just hands Trisha folded up piece of napkin. I was like, what if that was my boyfriend? Never, but.
You would have just been like, it's fine, take him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dick.
Well, that's awesome.
Proud
of
you.
So you ended up getting a number at a straight bar. Mm-hmm. Hopefully you'll use it.
No.
Okay. Whatever.
Nope.
Was he at least cute?
He wasn't bad.
All right. Well. It's workable.
Yeah, but... Yeah, and then we went back to Chris's house and
he said, here's my number, call me baby.
Actually, his sister literally sang that song. As soon as I got the number, she was like, here's my number, call me maybe. And I was like, I just died. I loved it.
I can't with them.
But then we went back to Chris's house with some of his friends, and the night ensued. And I'm going to drop the mic there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a rough Sunday.
So, Christopher, do you want to go next? Because I have a feeling that a lot of what you did is his fault.
Mm-mm.
No.
Opposite.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I think he's trying to kill me.
Well, I think he was catching on. I made it too obvious, I think.
Tell us about that, Christopher.
I don't really remember most of the
night.
I'm not going to lie. But no, it was, he basically said everything. It was a good time. It was fun to hang out with my family, which I never get to do. And I brought her along, and I wasn't embarrassed to have her with me. So that's a real proof of friendship between us.
I'm
going to come over this goddamn table one day, and I'm just going to smack it. Your face.
Okay.
Yes, that was our weekend.
Yes.
That was awesome. So I'm glad that you guys had a good time. I had to work, of course. So I was off Friday. I thought about going out, and I said, nah, I'm going to stay home. So I stayed home. I raked some leaves. I got a lawnmower. Our boss, sort of, kind of, gave me a lawnmower. So I just
turn that thing on, put some fuel in it, and just going all around.
Yeah, there are patches that are missed throughout the lawn. But he it was his first time at it.
Yeah, of course.
Well, well he did say he turned it on and then put gas in it. So
I looked at it and I'm like, I'm only going to do half. I'll do the rest next week. I was like, it's too much lawn. But, you know, so I spent most of my time this week just doing things around here, getting the studio sort of kind of like better set up and move things around and worked outside. And then I worked Saturday. It wasn't really too busy because people were supposed to be going to a Pride event in Hartford, Connecticut.
Oh, my God.
All right. So I cannot say that this is actual fact, but I have been told, and I suppose I should have looked this up before I started.
Now it's just gossip.
Talk about it. It's gossip. So this is gossip, and it's juicy gossip. So you have a shit ton of people coming up to the state capital of Connecticut to go to a Pride event, what I'm assuming is a festival or a little parade. It's Pride in the Park, right? They didn't pull a fucking permit.
What?
Them bitches got shut down.
They got shut down because they didn't have a permit.
You know, It's not funny. They shouldn't have gotten shut down, but let's think about this logically. There's got to be somebody in that community in Hartford that knows somebody that can be like, hey, can you do me a favor? Like, we screwed up. Can you pull a permit or whatever, like, last minute? Like, last night I was talking to Dave about it, and he was like, yeah, I would have just called the mayor's assistant and been like, look, we screwed up. There are people that can make it work, but evidently there wasn't somebody up there with the balls to, like,
call someone?
Yeah, call it's somebody.
When you plan an event, one of the first things you do is to
book your space.
Book your space.
Exactly. Before you start setting up the invitations.
What are the logistics of what I need to get this going? And how do you book a whole festival and not pull a permit?
Yeah.
Because by not pulling the permit, that means that all the vendors that went out there could not set up.
Well, they've learned from this, hopefully.
I hope so.
But so all these people showed up and they couldn't even do this?
No.
Yeah, correct. They got shut down.
No.
But that being said,
allegedly.
Yeah, allegedly.
So
this weekend is Pride New Haven.
Yes,
so if you missed Pride Hartford by accident or because you couldn't actually attend, come down to New Haven this weekend. We're gonna have a
permits.
Blast.
They took the permits, so they do have permits. So so we were talking about that, and then last night I go to work and I set up. You know, I run karaoke on Sundays, and so I went outside to hang out, and I'm with my boss. And I hear this argument coming from a bar all on the other side of our bar. And I'm not going to say the bar's name or anyone or anything. But it was a very, very heated argument. And we look over and you've got all these women each holding two men. And one of them whips out a gun and starts shooting. Now, I have never seen myself or my boss run so fast. We opened that door, we threw ourselves in the bar, and he immediately locks the door. He locked all of our patrons in the bar. He won't let you out. I duck. Now, mind you, the bartenders, Nick was there. He didn't know what was going on.
No. And this bitch is like, get down, get down. I'm like, and so me and Jose get really low in the bar, and I'm like, what's happening?
And all of a sudden, it's like, pop, you hear the first gunshot, and I'm like, oh, fuck, this is gonna be crazy, because, you know, where I set up with my equipment, it's right next to a window. So you never know. Something can fly in, and we had patrons in the bar. So, and then one of them, of course, you know, you always have that little nosy ass motherfucker. There's always one who was bolting towards the door. And of course, our boss just like, get back inside. You're not going outside. No one's leaving this bar right now. And seriously, he won't let you out that door. That man will lock you down.
I do have to say, you know, after everything that happened with Pulse, after seeing his reaction yesterday to the gunshot, I was like, I felt a little bit safer. He was like a fucking beast.
He had a good response and everything.
He's very, very, very calm under pressure, but he has a very good sense of how to manage a situation like that. And I think that he did it the right way. He locked everyone in the bar and he didn't let anyone come in until the cops showed up. Once we started seeing lights, he went outside even while the door was locked. I actually had to let him back in and surveyed the situation and said, okay, now it's safe for me to open my doors and so the patrons can come in and out, because he doesn't want to keep anybody locked in a bar, but he also wants to look out for you too,
right.
Which I thought was amazing. So that was my crazy experience at the bar in the weekend. And the sad part is this is the second time in 8 days.
Yeah, they need to shut that place down.
Yeah, it needs to go down.
There was another incident 8 days ago there?
Yeah.
Involving gunshots?
Two shootouts in less than
eight days. And then there was like a stabbing last month.
I'm pretty sure the owner of that place is already put in with his lawyer to have it shut down, so.
So, it just needs to happen. But anyway, I don't think anyone was hurt last night. I think maybe someone just pulled the gun out and just started shooting just to sort of kind of,
but here's
you
the
know,
thing. When you, I don't care if you pull a gun out and start shooting to scare somebody. That bullet, you don't know where it's going to end up.
Exactly.
And if you shoot a bullet straight up in the air, it's going up, but it's coming down with more force. It's going to hit something, absolutely, and it could hit a person.
And they can travel for a mile.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, in Puerto Rico during New Year's, people shoot up into the air, and I can't tell you countless people. We've lost children. Every year, we lose at least, I would say, probably 15 to 20 people for people firing bullets into the air and having them come back.
It's dangerous.
They should probably stop doing that.
Yeah.
They won't. The police try to, but, you know, some people shoot up in the air, and then, of course, they run like little bitches, and no one wants to tell who it was. But the sad thing is, you know, you have all this loss of life, and it's scary, but mm-hmm. people do that.
Yeah.
You know, but crazy. That was pretty much our weekend,
mm-hmm.
you know?
We survived.
We did. And we're here and we're queer and
we survived straight bars and gunshots. We are unstoppable.
Oh, I don't know. I'm unstoppable. No, it was a crazy week. So, all right. Well, let's jump into our dish because we've got some stories to cover. There's a lot of stuff. A lot of amazing things are happening. I believe it was Elle Magazine posted on their web, and also People. There's a couple of contributors to this little article that I was reading in regards to a beauty pageant hopeful. Her name is Anita Green, who became the first transgender person to ever compete in the Miss Montana USA on Saturday. An accolade she fought for as part of her mission to re-educate society on what it means to be a beauty queen. She says, and I quote, "I can definitely tell you that when Trump was elected into office, I knew that I needed to step up and do it," the 26-year-old said to the publication. She continues to say, "I was so nervous about this, but I knew that I needed to compete. I wanted to be a positive role model in our community and install a sense of hope within the trans community and give them some positive news," she added. Green's role in the competition follows years of discrimination against transgender community and beauty pageants, which has notoriously been excluding people from the transgender community. In 2012, Miss Universe, formerly owned by Trump or Dump, wouldn't you know, finally allowed a transgender contestant to compete. That contestant was Kilan Ariana Wenzel, and is the only other transgender beauty queen contestant to take part in the state's pageant when she competed with Miss USA in California back in 2013. However, this isn't the first time that this particular individual, Green, had made history. People reported that the beauty queen contestant became the first transgender delegate from Montana in 2016 when she was elected to cast her vote for Bernie Sanders at the Democratic National Convention. So, you know, props to her. Congratulations. It's good to see that some organizations, given the, you know, the rhetoric that's going around right now with transgender folks being banned from the military and all of this, you know, conversation that's happening around our fellow brothers and sisters, to see someone, you know, moving up in the world and allowing to actually compete. And I believe she will now compete in Miss USA.
Good. That's really amazing.
Yeah, and it's important that she can be such a huge role model for other transgender out there, especially in a time so divisive and scary. With the political climate we're going through right now.
Yeah, and it's powerful. I mean, like, everybody looks to Miss USA or Miss Universe as, like, this level of perfection and beauty that women try to attain in their life. And the fact that a transgender woman is putting herself out there, it changes the face of what we all think beauty really is. Not that she's not beautiful, because she is, but it's a transgender woman from a man to a woman, and it's just a different way to look at things, and it's just beautiful to me.
Well, I mean, it also opens up the conversation too about people competing in these types of competitions to allow them to be more vocal about for themselves and also for a community, and especially the young ones that, you know, sometimes think that they don't have a place in the world and may end up, you know, committing suicide as a result of being rejected and made fun of and being bullied, and to see someone overcome all of these obstacles and be successful, it is amazing to see.
It's inspiring as well.
Yeah, it is. For the entire trans community. I mean, like, it's like you can be and do whatever you want. You know
exactly.
what I mean?
I think that she's going to go far. I think she's going to do many wonderful things, and I wish her well and a lot of luck, and hopefully she'll, you know, we'll see a lot of her.
I'm going to book her ass on the show.
Yes,
hello.
In our
she'll
community.
Be on.
So, you know, props. She gets claps. I think so.
Yes. Speaking of claps and speaking of beauty pageants, somebody else gets claps too.
Ooh.
And it was the Charlottesville, or no, the whole thing that happened in Charlottesville. So one of the contestants for Miss Universe got up and was asked a question about what they thought of Trump's response to Charlottesville.
Don't you have the audio?
I do.
Push play and put it on that microphone.
Okay, hold on.
Last month, a demonstration of neo-Nazis, white supremacists, and the KKK in Charlottesville, Virginia turned violent and a counter-protester was killed. The president said there was shared blame with, quote, very fine people on both sides. Ooh. Were there? Tell me yes or no and explain.
I think that the white supremacist issue, it was very obvious that it was a terrorist attack. And I think that President Donald Trump should have made a statement earlier addressing the fact and making sure all Americans feel safe in this country. That is the number one issue right now.
Yes, yes queen.
Yes, queen.
She tore it up. She had like, she answered that in less than like 15, 20 seconds. And she was just like, this is the fucking deal.
And you can tell that she was probably ready for that. She...
It almost like she was almost getting emotional, too, if you see the video. She was just like...
No, it was a very, very, very amazing speech, and it really just points out to what a lot of us already know really happened over the course of that weekend.
Isn't
that
it great when people actually answer questions? Unlike these fucking politicians. Like, she actually answered the question.
Yeah, she did.
And she did. So she gets claps.
She fucking nailed it.
Yes, queen. All right. So, Christopher, you have a story for us?
Yeah, this one I find really interesting, and it might be cool to get some input. So, a new study from Stanford University.
He wants input from us?
I always want input. All my stories lead to conversation.
Christopher,
that's why we do it.
I'm really loving you right now.
I love you,
it.
Too. Okay. So, a new study from Stanford University found out that a computer algorithm could, in a majority of the cases, identify if a person was gay or straight.
I heard about this.
Yes. By reading one picture of his or her face. So, the AI was the...
Super
artificial
gay.
Intelligence, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I just choked a little bit. Sorry. The AI was accurate in 81% of cases for men and 74%, 112%
for Trish.
Okay, so let me get the numbers right.
All right.
81% of the cases for men and 74% for women. However, accuracy jumped to 91% and 83% respectively if given five photographs of one person. In contrast, a human trying to determine if a person's sexual orientation was right 61% of the time for men and 54% of the time for
women. Not if you're gay.
Women.
We have the gaydar.
I have no gaydar.
Yeah, you're sucky.
I have no gaydar
whatsoever.
You're
really sucky.
So it's interesting. The algorithm examined both facial features and grooming, suggesting that...
grooming.
Love it. Suggesting that genetic factors.
That bitch got a nose here. She ain't gay. Moving on.
Well, that's, the percentage was high for it.
She's not wearing Bondo. She ain't gay. Keep it going.
Well, suggesting that genetic factors were at play that could physically distinguish queer people from their straight peers. Consistent with prenatal hormone theory of sexual orientation, gay men and women tended to have gender atypical facial morphology, expression, and grooming styles, the study noted. Now, what I find interesting was they're also suggesting that this technology could be dangerous if it falls into the wrong hands.
It could be.
I agree.
For example, let's look at what's going on in Chechnya. If you had someone...
That's even taking it further than I was thinking. Really good point, Tom.
Yeah, I mean, let's say this fucking idiot over in Chechnya decided that he wanted to adopt this technology to start accusing men and women of homosexuality just to, you know, corral them up and throw them in camps and kill them and torture them. This could really, really potentially be something negative.
It could lead that. Yeah, that's a great point. It really can lead to like an extensive witch hunt at that point where they can just be going all over your profiles and examining your pictures. And if you score, I don't know, especially for someone as crazy as Kadyrov, if you score over like a 52%, you're gay, they might round you up or you'll be on constant watch and they'll be watching you and your family.
I do think, however, you would be safe.
Because I have nose hairs, my beard's a little bushy. No.
You're confused about yourself. I think you wouldn't even like.
I just want to be a moose.
Yeah.
I just want to be a moose.
He just wants to be a moose in Canada.
I'd be fucked.
Trish, you would be jailed, skinned, you're done.
That's it. Uh-huh. Well, see, that's a great point.
She might like that.
That's such a good point that you brought that up, because that's not even what I was thinking. I was thinking more, because there are certain places, you know, in the United States where people are still able to get fired because of their sexuality. Of so imagine if you're going to, you're applying for a job and they're looking up your information, they can go on
and
with discriminate this.
Against
and discriminate against you. Exactly.
But how about if they, you know, create an app or something like that and you're in high school and your classmates start using this app against, you know, these kids. I mean, bullying would go fucking through the roof.
Right. So my main question is, and you guys already give me like other thoughts about it, but my main question is, what good is this?
Well, here's
it's just
thing.
Someone
tally it up. Well, that's what I want to hear your input on how this AI can be beneficial.
This is more of a joke than anything. I don't think it's beneficial. I don't think it should be used. However, if it were me and I had access to it, I'd be like, let me just check you. Check you. Check you. I got a list now.
Yes. No, but I think, I mean, depending. It depends on what you're using it for. I mean, if it's for a personal reason, hey, I need to find out if this guy's gay because he is hot. And I'm like, then literally.
That's the only thing that I could see be positive.
Yeah, that would be the only thing.
Yeah. What was it that RuPaul said during?
Why is it even, why are they doing it? Why do you need to profile people by who they are?
Well, maybe it was seeing because, you know, maybe looking at the gaydar thing where people are stereotyping
it's a
group of people by looking at someone and be like, oh, he looks like a gay guy. He must love men or suck dick. But maybe this is saying, well, that's just how people perceive it. Let's do an algorithm that can really take parts of your genetic structure or the way you take care of yourself apart and see if that can maybe pinpoint who's gay and who's not. That's why I think it's an interesting study, but I don't see any benefits from this.
I don't see any benefits other than just for personal reasons, right, trying to figure out whether someone is gay or not because he's hot. I'd be like, what was it that RuPaul said during To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmark? That guy is so hot. He is going on my tires. If there's a snowstorm tonight, he is going on my tires.
I've never heard that expression.
Yeah, because he was so hot. You know, he's like, melt that snow away. I'll be driving away free and clear. So,
yeah,
you're right. I think it's questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I thought it was an interesting
talk. It's 7 p.m. Do we want to jump into a story or shall we take a break?
I think we should take a break because we do have somebody coming on today.
We do have a guest. All right. So we're going to take a break. I'm going to play some music and we'll be right back.
Visible from your look, will you find me soon? Trapped in the darkness, lost in the night, so far away, out of sight. Discover and release my love somehow. My questions need your answer, give them to me now. Pain inside is way too much, just want to hold you and feel your touch. Bet you can see me, pull me out of here. Feels like I'm drowning. I'm drowning in this.
Thank you.
All right, welcome back from the break, ladies and gentlemen. That was Invisible and Memories by Jens East and fellow guest. And that last song was We Need to Be Loved by Anthony Starbell, who's our guest next week here on the show on Gay Talk. And now we welcome Jason Davis, the author of My Pops the Top, a witty picture book penned from the point of view of a young African-American boy growing up in a same-sex couple household. Jason, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. I'm delighted to be here.
We're delighted to have you. So Nick has been working with you, corresponding back and forth to get you to come on the show and talk about this amazing illustrative book that you've written. So Nick, you want to say hello?
Hi, Jason. How are you?
Good, Nick. How are you?
Good. Super excited to have you on.
Well, thanks so much. I'm really enjoying the correspondence with my partner, David, and Barry. Whatever. Many people I'm working with. Anyway, I'm glad that we're speaking, and I'm glad that you liked the book. You had mentioned that you enjoyed it, and
it's
some people
fun.
Love it. Well, thanks. It's funny because some people are finding it super fun, and some people are horrified by it. So I guess it's better. Well, one extreme or the other is better than not thinking anything of it. So I'm happy with that.
I have a question for you, but before we move on, Chris, our other co-host, is also here, so Chris wants to say hi.
Hi, Jason. I'm Chris. I show up on Monday sometimes.
Hey, Chris.
And I will tell you this. This is that type of show that we never get, you know, funny about anything that people put out there, especially stuff like this.
Yeah.
So feel free to be very coy and
candid.
And candid, absolutely.
And bitchy.
Yes, yeah, that is highly
Bitchy's
recommended.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not a censored show, so you can do and say whatever you want.
Speaking of which,
that's great.
So why are you getting a negative response from the book? I mean, sorry, go on.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think one person contacted me, and he said, it's never a good idea to mix sexual matters with children. I guess they were thinking, without reading the book, thinking it was like had to do with pedophilia or something unseemly. And that wasn't the idea about the book. It's kids today are very, you know, sophisticated when it comes to sex. And it has nothing to do with, you know, that kind of thing. It's more or less was inspired by something that happened to me many years ago where I, in the middle of the night, I was like maybe 9 years old or so. I heard a lot of moaning and groaning and coming from my parents' room. It's like, what is going on here? And it was my mother. And it's like, why isn't my father doing anything? Why is it? And so I kind of like ran into the room, and it was pitch dark, but you know, there's some light, and I saw him on top of her.
Oh,
it's like,
God.
I didn't know what the hell's going on. So I ran back to the room, shut my door. I was terrified. I was terrified. Next morning, my father at breakfast says, oh, your mother had a cramp. So, so it took me a little while to figure that one out. But right. So that. So I was thinking, you know, years later, you know, I'm gay, and I was thinking, what about if a kid walked into his parents if they were same sex? And it's like, there's no difference. It's the same kind of thing, except today's kids, as I mentioned, I think know a lot more because of what they see on TV and hear on the radio and all that. So I kind of wanted to do, you know, kind of a silly thing. I wanted to kind of model it after like a Little Golden Books. Are you familiar with them? It's like these little kids' books, you know, like my dad's a fireman, my mom's a teacher, and you know, it's kind
I remember those.
You know, I was trying to get the links actually for your book, and I believe I found it on Barnes & Noble. And
yes,
there was some mentioning that it was on Amazon. So while I was looking for it on Amazon, I went through a whole list of all these books that you're describing. But I couldn't find the book on Amazon, so I'm hoping to be able to catch the link because I would like to post it on our episode post so that we can let our subscribers know and our listeners how they can access that book.
Sure. No, I appreciate that. And Amazon's really weird because I've been finding that too. 1 minute it's on there, 1 minute it's not. So I advise your listeners to don't give up. I don't know. I have no idea. I mean, this is a self-published book through Amazon. And it's there and it's not, and it's there and not. And I've tried to reach them, and I think they have like offices in South Africa or something. I mean, it's very spread out, their publishing unit. It's very strange.
Well, I can tell our listeners that it is available on Barnes & Noble because I found it on there. And the price point is actually very, very affordable. And it's a really good short book, funny book. I encourage everyone to really buy it and read it.
Yeah. No,
thank you.
This book, obviously, it's not geared. It's modeled after a child's book, you know, with the illustrations, and it's not geared for children, correct?
Absolutely not. I call it. This is definitely not a bedtime story for kids. It definitely isn't. It's adult material presented in a childish manner, like an old fashioned, like Dick and Jane or Little Golden Books, you know, with quaint little pictures. And my illustrator, Tori McKinney, I found her, I put out the word that I was looking for an illustrator. And it's so hard to find these days. It's so hard to find somebody like this with these innocent illustrations. She did it hand with her hands. She used watercolors, this and that. Most of these people I heard from were like using all this digital stuff, and it had this glossiness that didn't represent what I was looking for. I was looking for an old fashioned kind of kids book, but the story is not. And I mentioned in the first page after the title that there's a reader discretion advice.
Yep.
Readers under 17 require an accompanying parent or adult guardian. This is a work of spite. So,
we know the feeling. We have the same warning on our website because, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I thought when you said, like, you were getting some negative feedback. I'm like, were parents just going out and blindly buying this book and then reading it to their children? Is that where you were getting it from?
No, just some gay people. You know, I promoted this. I advertised it on Facebook around the country, and also in London and Australia and other places. And it's interesting, the feedback. Actually, London was the most receptive. I thought that was interesting of anywhere. I don't know. But yeah, I got some emails. This one guy, you know, who's saying, oh, this is not a good idea. But again, he didn't read it. You know, it's so easy when people can criticize without not reading it and understanding it, you know. So it's a kid's book, but it's funny. And, you know, if you're gay and you're have a sense of humor, if you're going to be if you're a prude or a prissy or, you know, somebody who's easily offended, I'd say don't read this book. Don't read it.
I find it interesting. I don't think it's always interesting to me in the gay community when I meet somebody that is prude or easily offended by gay books or stuff like this. I'm like,
or even gay lingo, like, you know, just talking like we do amongst ourselves. Some people actually get offended about that, and I never understood that either.
Yeah, I call people she all the time, and I remember one guy flipped out on me, and I'm like, oh no, honey, don't flip out on me. And all of my customers are she, so you can go somewhere else if you don't want to drink.
People do get a little bent out of shape for that. I agree.
Yeah,
I agree, because Liz is not allowed to call me her or she. She can say it to anyone else, but not me.
We do it all the time.
You too, because you're not Liz.
Okay. All right.
So, Jason, when you were writing this book, obviously we just talked about it not being a children's book. So what is the demographic? What are you trying to convey with this book? Is it just something that you wanted to put out there, or was there a specific purpose behind it?
Well, you know, ultimately, I wanted it to be funny and fun.
Right.
You know, some people, a friend of mine, I told him about it, and he got it, and he's looking for deeper meaning. And there really isn't too much deeper meaning in here, except I did make some specific choices, and one of them was I wanted to have a multicultural family. So in the book, the young boy, the adoptee, is a young African-American boy, like 9 or 10 years old. And then one of the fathers, Pop is one of the fathers, and he's a Latino man. And then his lover is Caucasian. And, you know, I've seen a lot of, you know, living in New York, I see a lot of mixed families. And I think it's important to people to, you know, recognize that and appreciate that. So that was a definite choice that I wanted to make. Just the idea that kids are not as you know, sensitives as people, you know, the right wing. It's like, oh, those kids, oh, you know, they hear these dirty words or they see these movies. Oh, they're so vulnerable. Bullshit. I mean, really.
I call bullshit on that, too. I'm right there with you, brother.
Well, thanks. I mean, nowadays, you know, in kindergarten, they're hearing things. I mean, who are they protecting, these people? They're not protecting. Kids know this stuff already. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they just do. So, I don't.
I'm a firm believer that, you know, obviously there's certain topics that you should wait until they're of age. Or a little older to discuss with them, but we shouldn't hide sexuality from our youth because they're eventually going to experience it.
Right.
And the sooner they're exposed to it and know what the ramifications are or what's out there, you know, possible STIs right. or STDs, you know, and they know about how to safely engage it, and that's a conversation that parents should have with their kids.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what age, you know. I think that the more they know, the better we equip them to face the real problems of the world when they grow up to be older and are thrust into this whole, you know, hormones are going crazy and they're trying to figure out what's going on.
And to piggyback on that a little bit too, I mean, for the longest time, not internationally, but definitely nationally, sex was so taboo. No one talked about it. And it was like what happened behind closed doors happened behind closed doors. And that's, I think that potentially could screw kids up. Mm-hmm. And as, you know, time has progressed, obviously it's become less taboo and people are way more open about it. But for the longest time, my parents couldn't even really talk about sex with me. And now we have more of an open dialogue. And I think that that's how it should be because it's not an abnormal thing. It's a very base human need. And everybody should just be very open and fluid about it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Even when we had the CEO of Squatty Potty come on and a couple episodes back. And something is simple. There is so much taboo out there, especially in the United States, even pooping, something that we all do is something that's not discussed. And I agree with what Nick is saying with sex. It's never talked about. Even schools don't even do sex ed anymore. I never had sex ed.
Well, they call it health class.
Well,
now.
I took health and it's very true. I took health and we touched on it briefly, but they really don't teach too much about it anymore. I mean, they'll let you know about the consequences and possibilities of STDs, but it is to this day so taboo. And that's what I think was so great about this book. Not only are you tackling, you know, showing interracial families, but you're talking about sex at a young age. Not someone at a young age having sex, but just exposing to it.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's very innocent in nature when it comes to, you know, walking into your parents like you were describing when you were a little boy. You know, you didn't know what was going on, but, you know, back then, I'm not going to presume to know how old you are, and I'm not going to ask. But back then, you know, because it was so taboo for children to be exposed, they really had to sort of kind of lie. It's like Santa Claus.
Right.
You know? And so I think that what you're doing is amazing. And you know, thank you for writing the book because it just, you know what? It smacks some of the adults in the face and say, this is the reality that we live in. I mean, we can't hide from it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Well, this is the first of a series I'm planning.
Awesome.
The second one is going to be called Uncle Sodom is a Bottom.
Uncle Sodom?
Yes. S-O-D-O-M. I'm not going to, Uncle Sodom. So is a bottom. So we have a top and we have a bottom. And then there's like eight other titles. Who knows if they will come along. But Uncle Sodom is a Bottom. Sometime next year, it'll be coming out.
We look forward to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, when I read this for the first time, I actually read it at work, which I shouldn't say on air, but whatever. I was reading it at work and I was just I was in my office just like giggling to myself and my assistant was like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, don't worry about it. But it was a lot of fun.
So,
well, thanks.
So you're an author. You've done other work as well, right? Aside from what's coming down the pike?
Well, how I make my living is I work in public relations and I've written a lot of ghosted a lot of articles and things like that. And I've written a novel and I've written a play, but they haven't appeared yet professionally. But I wanted to get something out finally. And I tried to get an agent, tried to get a publisher for this book, and it was very hard. It's one of those things that it doesn't fit too many categories.
Right. You know? It has a very unique niche.
Yes, yes. And these days, you know, I would have loved to have it out in a book form as opposed to an ebook, because it would be fun and people can just thumb through it and whatever. But maybe Uncle Solomon might be in the book form. I don't know.
That might be the one.
Jason, I will tell you this. When I was looking for the links earlier, I was sort of kind of wishing that there was a paperback, because, yeah, you know, I was like, oh, well, is there a bareback paperback? So I was sort of kind of come up with a joke, but I couldn't find one, so I was like, oh, fuck, you know, there's no paperback version. So, but there is a digital version, and I really, really encourage all of our listeners to listen to it. So I do have a question for you on this book.
Okay.
So do you have a partner?
Yes, I have a husband.
Okay, so you have a husband, and is any of this book, you know, like, really take part at all from, like, your personal relationship with your husband and possibly your children?
Well, we don't have children, and we have a parrot.
It's almost. They talk back.
I don't think he cares too much. You know, as long as he gets his food, he's fine. So no, it has really nothing to do with us. I mean, we're, you know, two Caucasian men who've been together for a while and very happy. And so no, it has nothing to do with that. But, you know, we have friends who do have children, and, you know, they're great to be around. You know, we used to live in San Francisco, and so we got to know some of the kids out there, but then we moved back to New York. So it's nice to have kids around. But no, it has nothing to do with my personal experience, except for the time when I busted into my parents' room. And boy, that was really
something. Sawing daddy help mom with the crayon.
I think I heard my mom once with my dad.
I lucked out. I never had any of that.
So no, funny story.
I ignored it.
Funny story before I ask you another question. One time when I was visiting my folks at some point, I was in college, and they were just at each other's throat. And I looked at them and I was like, look, I'm going out for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. You guys need to have sex.
Oh, my God.
Because you guys are super, super nippy at one another. I went out, came home, and they were like, hi, Nick. How's everything going?
She was totally relaxed and released.
So I know. What?
You're very perceptive. I could never have said that to my parents. Never, ever.
Trish is one of a kind.
That's for sure.
I have to say that my relationship with my mother now is very free, and we talk about a lot of things, you know, like nonchalantly now. Like,
hey,
I remember,
why
one
is
time,
the Astro Glide by the computer?
Exactly. No, but I remember one time, you know, she goes, I was with my ex, and we were together for like 7 years, and she comes to visit. And she walks in and she goes, so what do you guys do? And she's all in, you know, like, curious. Mm-hmm. And so I start telling her some things, and I said, you know, you really got to do it good, man. You got to hold it. And I took a banana and I started showing her
Jesus,
how to do it.
Oh, my God. I would not get that close with my mother.
No, but you know, she took it in stride, and she was like, well, point taken. I may have to take some points and do some work on my own. You know, she's been married now with her husband for 25 years.
Clearly something stuck.
So you had a follow-up question. Okay.
Yeah. So I know that we were emailing back and forth, and I had said, well, would you be interested in doing a reading of the...
Sure.
Okay, but before we do that, you do say in here, for Mr. T, with all of my love. Do you mind? Who's Mr. T?
Well, he's my husband. We just have this... Okay. This we just have... We call each other T. I won't go into why, but we do.
Okay.
Well, that's cute.
And clearly you're the bottom, because you say you're the tops.
Yes.
Okay. So now that that's clear.
Right. We can clear the air on that one. Absolutely.
We can move on now.
Right. So, I'd be happy to. Do you want me to read the whole thing or part of it, or what do you prefer?
It's up to you. You can read the whole thing, because it's not too long, or you can just do your favorite part or a snippet from it. Completely up to you.
I'll read a part of it. I'll start from the beginning and just go a little beyond a certain point. So as I mentioned to you, there's a reader discretion advice. Readers under 17 require an accompanying parent or adult guardian. This is a work of smut. names, characters, and places and incidents either are products of the author's warped imagination or are used fictitiously. Any resemblance to actual events or locales or persons living or dead is entirely coincidental. And I kind of use the exact wording that you find on the motion pictures. If you look at, go to the website, you know, where they have R or whatever, they had, this is more or less kind of plays off it. So
I need an adult.
Yes, you do, Chris.
Okay, so my pop's a top, I'm proud to say. A description I might like if I were gay. Hot and strong and hard all over. Poking his wee-wee inside daddy as if he were Rover. On the floor, in bed or against the wall, he pumps and thrusts and grabs his balls.
Oh my God.
Daddy cries and sounds extremely wild, just like me when I was a young child. If I didn't know better, I'd think it was a wrestling match. As Pop gropes and flips Daddy over without a scratch. After, I'll read the whole thing. Why not? Yeah. After all the action is finished and done, they join me downstairs as if they were nuns. Serene and quiet with heavenly smiles, not knowing I'm keeping plenty of mental files. Later we go shopping for holiday decorations. Why not after they've enjoyed their loving relations? While we're at the store buying Christmas wreaths, I tell them they have pubes in their teeth. And then, so there's the epilogue. Luckily for them, Pop had dental floss in the car, so they didn't have to go very far. To save face while still pretending, the story had a wholesome, happily ever after ending.
Oh, that's so
and
great.
That's it.
Very nice. Thank you for giving us a reading.
And as you can see, to our listeners, this is why you have to support books like this, because it's a funny, amazing, you know, thing that you're doing here.
And the words are great, but the illustrations are just another element that
you have to download it. Absolutely.
Yeah, she really did a great job. And so, I was very happy with that. And I'm glad you liked it, liked the book. There are actually friends of mine I haven't heard back from.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Well, I can tell you one. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, go on. Go on.
No, you were going to say there was a one time.
Oh, yeah. There was this one friend who was also a writer, and she was like gung-ho, like, oh, I'm so psyched. God, this is great. You know, because I put it on my Facebook page. Oh, yeah, I'm going to get it. I got it. I'm so psyched. Never heard from her again.
Well, I can tell you this much. I've enjoyed this book so much that I cannot wait for Uncle Sodom is a Bottom.
Yep.
Seriously. So
I'll make sure you get a copy, an advanced copy, once it's finished and done.
Excellent.
And hopefully this Amazon thing is. If I could mention something, if your listeners want to, if they can't find it on Amazon but they want to get it through Kindle, if they could send me a note via Twitter, I have a link that should work. Which is a whole nother story. Would that be okay if I give a Twitter?
Oh, absolutely. You plug yourself away. You tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you, what website they can go to if necessary,
Sure. So
that they could have the full experience of what you're doing with your books.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, there are three ways they can reach me. Twitter, my handle is Jason Davis LGBT. So it's very, you know, but it is what it sounds like.
It's so trash.
Or you can email me at jasondavisauthor@gmail.com. Or you could go to my Facebook page, which is Jason Davis, and I'm based in New York. There are a lot of other Jason Davises out there, but I'm the one that's in New York, New York.
Oh, I found that out when I was looking for the book on Amazon. I was like, oh my God, there's so many Jason Davises. And a lot of them do children's books.
Yeah, I know, and it's like, oh, shoot.
I'm sending Amazon a message. I want my pops to top.
Exactly.
Hello?
Yeah. I do, for my Amazon Fire.
Kindle
Fire. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'll send a link, because the link, it's so frustrating. After a while, you just have to let it go. But mm-hmm. but you know, it appears and it disappears, and it's just bizarre. I don't know what it is, but it is out there. And actually, on Amazon, it's cheaper than on Barnes & Noble, because originally it was both $3.99 on both platforms. And I found most people buying it on Amazon for Kindle. So I brought it down to $2.99. So if they want to get in touch, if they can't find it on Amazon, they could contact me at Jason Davis LGBT. I'd be happy to send them the link, which does work all the time. It's weird.
So the link brings them to the book where they can purchase it?
Yes. Yes.
Well,
yes.
I mean, if you want to send us over that link via email, we'll put it on the post as well, so that way they can just access it from there too.
Absolutely. Well, absolutely. I will do that. I will email you after the interview and let you know where it is. But that would be great. That would be great, because, yeah, I keep, you know, trying to contact them. It's kind of weird. I guess they have so many books that they're publishing, you know, millions of books. There's bound to be some problems, but it does show up. Trust me, it's there.
Well,
believe me, like Donald Trump says, believe me, it's there.
Believe me.
Fuck her. Well, listen.
It's huge. It's huge.
Yeah. This book should be huge, because it's super funny. Jason, listen, I want to thank you for taking the opportunity to talk to us and call into the show and tell us about your amazing book. And
well, thank you
like
so much.
We said before, I'm looking forward to, you know, Uncle Sodom is a bottom, because I just think that's just going to be hilarious. And, you know, to our listeners, as he said before, if you can reach out to him on Twitter, which is Jason mm-hmm. Davis, LGBT, so right. that way he can interact with you and you can follow him. And he'll also send out that link, which we'll put on our post as well. And I hope you come back on the show when you release Uncle Sodom is a Bottom, because we would love
to have
you again.
I thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I hope your listeners check out my Pops the Top. And again, if contact me, even if they don't, I'd be happy to hear from them. I'd be happy to correspond and stay in touch. And same with you. And I really appreciate this opportunity. You have a great show, and it was a lot of fun being on it.
Oh, thank you so much. You have yourself a wonderful evening, and we'll definitely have you on the show again. You have an open invitation, my friend.
Yeah, and I'm incessant with emails, so don't worry about it.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks so much.
You have a great day.
You too. Good night, then.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Well, that was Jason Davis, again, the author of My Pops a Top. As you can see, if you're listening to the live show, he read the book. You're actually going to get that also on the episode release, so that you guys can hear it. But you have to see the illustrations on this book. So, so we have more stories. We're going to continue with the second portion of the dish, as we normally do when we have a guest. Once we're done, we go into other stories that we have. I know, Nick, you didn't get a chance during our first section to...
Nobody wants to hear from me anyway.
Well, yes, we do. You're Trish. We love you. So I'm going to give you the floor so that you could talk about this amazing and important story that you had for segment one.
Okay, so...
Or you can talk about whatever you want, but I'm just letting you know you have the floor.
Okay. Oh my God, I'm stressed now. Thank you, love.
I was like, is she sending him to go make a new drink?
No. So there's a new study about that teen boys can benefit from PrEP. I mean, I think, obviously, we've always talked about it, that everybody can benefit from PrEP. But there are two things that might stand in the way. Of course, this article came from unicornbooty.com.
I miss it. Unicornbooty.com.
Hey. And it's also written by our good friend who has called on the show before, Daniel Villarreal.
Yes, it is.
All right.
So it was a 48-week study, and there were 78 sexually active gay and bi teenage males in this study. 48 weeks. That's like a long time. And it's like... hold on, time out, because is it like, all right, you have 48 weeks to have sex and have fun, like, here's PrEP, enjoy yourself, like, it's just a little, I'm like, oh,
well,
interesting
I think,
study.
I think they did 48 weeks, because, you know, you want to discount Christmas, you want to mm-hmm. discount Thanksgiving, and any other weeks, like, you know, when you're off.
Yeah,
48.
What are you talking about, when Thanksgiving, you're visiting family, I'm like,
derp. Yeah, I know, she's on Grindr the whole time.
She's like this, wait.
There it is.
Nick, what are you doing? Oh, don't worry about it. All of these teens were considered at high risk for HIV because of them having potentially of having had unprotected sex with a male partner, or have known somebody with HIV or had a positive HIV status. By the end of the 48 weeks, they were all given PrEP. By the end of the 48 weeks, only three participants tested positive for HIV. So out of the 78, only three. So clearly, it is a benefit. However, what's weird about it is these kids, teens, had a hard time taking it. It was like they would take one or two a week because they felt like there was some taboo around taking it for some reason. So that being said, by the end of the 48-week study, there was only 22% had a high enough level of Truvada in their blood to actually prevent HIV.
So basically, because they weren't following directions and taking their pill every day like they're supposed
to. Right, the proper dosage.
Right.
The medication in itself may have been ineffective had they been exposed to HIV.
Exactly. And so when they asked these participants why, the participants said that they feared that others would think that they were HIV positive for taking the medication. Mm-hmm. It's a preventive medication. So, I mean, people can have HIV and be on PrEP, I believe, but it's a preventative medication. So I don't think that that's a justified fear. I understand where they're coming
from. Right, because I can understand the stigma for that, definitely.
Right. Here's the other thing, though.
Kind of tally it up.
Yeah, so it's sort of like birth control, right? You have to get parents' permission mm-hmm. under a certain age to get this. So if you are I was sexually active by, I think, almost, I was 15 when I was sexually active. So a lot of kids, before they have the ability to get parental consent for something like this,
Are already potentially being exposed to this.
And on top of that, like, what if they're not out? And they want to ask mom and dad if I can go on PrEP because I'm behind closed doors.
Well, a lot of people will see that that's the problem right there. That what if they're not out? Well, what if they're not gay? Straight people could have access to PrEP as well.
Straight people should go on PrEP too. That's
That's also a misconception that a lot of people think that if you take PrEP, you must be gay because it's a gay thing. And it's really not. So, I mean, just the child needs consent, period.
Yeah, totally. But here, how...
Whether straight or gay.
I think that there's a world in which kids under the age of 18 should be able to access that medication without parental consent. Because there are situations like, what if I can't come out to my family?
Right.
Even
if it's not coming out, what if I don't even want to let my family know that I'm having sex?
Right. Correct. I'm a Mormon child that can't come out, but I am sexually active?
That is the problem that we have with adults today. We're supposed to be adults. We're supposed to be proactive in teaching our young adults about sexual behaviors and being positive with our sexuality. And then allowing your children to learn about this at a younger age really increases their ability to maintain a healthy lifestyle for the rest of their lives. And if you can start doing this as early as 12, 13 and say, hey, when you get to that age, these are things that you're going to want to know about.
Yeah.
These conversations.
Have the conversation at 12 or 13, you're hoping that your child isn't sexually active. That's a young age, but that's a good time in which to start having that conversation.
Right.
And saying, hey, when this happens, like explain it, teach them. And then when this happens, These are some options to protect yourself.
You know, we're taking a lot of measures to say, we need to end this this epidemic by so and so year. I mean, there's initiatives out there that they
2020
want
or
2020
like
or 20 by 2025 that we could eradicate HIV. We're not going to be able to do that if we don't have adults that are willing to educate even the youngest of the younger adults in preventive medicine and saying this could save your life, and that conversation needs to happen not only with the adults, it needs to happen with our youth.
Right.
This is stuff that needs to be taught. If we have health classes, it needs to be put in these books. Amazing breakthroughs.
LGBTQ sex ed needs to be more in tuned and involved in every sex ed, like around the country. It's ridiculous that it's not. Mm-hmm. I had no idea when I was growing up. I got no information about sex. And I mean, you got the basics, like wear a condom.
Two paragraphs.
But that's even perfect thing you're just saying right there. Wear a condom. Access to condoms is even difficult. Some people won't sell them condoms to people unless they're 18 years old.
And also for a long time, when I would go to a store buying condoms, it can be embarrassing.
It was embarrassing because it's a taboo.
It's a taboo. Yes. So it's like, now I'm just like, whatever, take it or leave it. protecting myself.
Right, exactly. It's a good thing to be going and buying condoms. But that's what's so great about a place like Planned Parenthood. You know, they'll supply condoms.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and those contraceptive.
Exactly. So that's so important. Like, obviously, Truvada is even a step further, which is great. But having...
But that doesn't mean you shouldn't wear a condom.
Exactly. And you always have to have access to it. No matter if you're getting, if you're becoming sexually active at a young age, you still need to be able to have access to safe sex and condoms. Mm-hmm.
And on the other side, like the whole parental consent under the age of, I think it's 18 or 17. I understand the one element of it that I understand and support is there are side effects with Truvada. Mm-hmm. You have to educate yourself and talk to your doctors and know what potentially could happen so that if these side effects do happen to you, you can address them appropriately.
Which now, is why
parental consent is important.
Right.
So,
but that's also why parents should be involved. And what we need to do is reach, well, I say we, obviously there's not much we can do if the parent doesn't want to do it. But as a society, we need to start really hammering down on parents and really taking the initiative to teach their children about sexual health.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Because, like you said, yeah, we should teach more in sex ed and incorporate LGBT, you know, sexual behaviors in our teachings and our learnings in school. But at the end of the day, we learn most from the people that influence us the most, and that is our parents.
Yeah. My parents never even mentioned, I never even think I've heard the word sex come out of my parents'
mouth.
So
much makes so much sense now.
Right? It's like, boom, the light bulb went out.
I get it.
I never had
the birds and bees talk.
And it was because it was so taboo.
A video for us. See, and then my mom taped like Princess Di's funeral over half of it. And we were like, what?
Well, see, I never wanted to have that conversation. It felt awkward because it was such a taboo topic. But I think there are things I probably should have learned at a younger age.
My mom was a loudmouth. Mm-hmm. I learned what penis was and a vagina was at a very young age because that's all she would be screaming. Puñeta!
What I think is those aren't words.
Yeah.
But what I think is important that parents need to realize is that you were a child once and you know when you became sexually active, and not everybody became sexually active at such a young age. Some people did wait until they were older or in college or whatnot.
Or married.
But they also have friends that were sexually active. And so having that knowledge means that you know that there's a potential for your child to be that person who is sexually active at a younger age.
Right.
So I think that minds are changing and people are able to have these conversations now. But I think especially today, it's really important to have these conversations with the different types of STDs that are out there, HIV, trying to eradicate that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just support your kids no matter what situation they're in. Because otherwise, they're not going to talk to you and they're not going to tell you what they need.
That is absolute truth. So, Trish, thank you so much for bringing that story to light. So, do we want to cover other stories or shall we wrap it up for the evening?
I mean, I'm all set. It's up to you guys. Do you have anything
Well,
you
want? We still have a couple of things that need to be discussed before we can wrap it up because we've got our gay talk term that we have to talk about. And who's going to give us the term today?
He's got it. I just picked it.
You've got the Bible, girl.
I bookmarked
it. Yes.
All right, so today's gay talk term is brought to you by
unicornbooty.com.
Really?
I wanted to see.
I'm currently trying to find it because I hadn't had the book in my hand because I'm a hot mess like usual.
Always.
Wasn't it like Daddy? Yeah, nope. It was Papa Daddy.
Got it. Okay.
All right.
All right. So this week's gay talk term brought to you, of course, by unicornbooty.com.
Nailed
Not really.
It. Oh.
It's Papa Daddy. Comes from the late 60s. Uh-huh. Papa Daddy. Handsome father in the company of his young children. A good breeder put out to pasture as far as the envious are concerned. Papa Daddy got a brand new sag. Papa Daddy's your gay talk term this week.
Yes, Papa Daddy. All right. Well, of course, we don't have gender identity terms anymore because we went through all of them. So as we stated earlier in the episode, we created a new segment for the show, which is On This Day in Gay History. And of course, Nick has been doing a wonderful job of posting these daily on our Instagram page. So Nick, what's our Instagram handle so they can follow us?
@GayTalk20. 2.0.
It's 2.0.
GayTalk 2.0. Who put those her are in my charge? Those are my fucking plugs, and I still can't get it.
Yeah, I know.
Gay Talk 2.0, follow us.
All right, so Nick, take it away.
So today in LGBTQ history,
yes.
Brought to you by UnicornBooty.com.
Not really.
Okay, so it's actually to do with 9/11.
I was like, so we're going to take it
so,
down a notch.
September 11th, 2001. Where did this happen? This happened in Pennsylvania. What happened? So Mark Bingham was a passenger on United Airlines Flight 93, which crashed into Pennsylvania as a result of efforts by the passengers to stop Al-Qaeda members from reaching Washington, D.C. Bingham came out as gay at age 21 and was 31 at the time of his death. He was an athlete, a judo instructor, a weightlifter, a one-time paratrooper, and a former college quarterback and a rugby player. Mark Bingham was a hero.
Yes, he was. He's our LGBT hero for today, and especially being that it was 9/11. I think he's going to get amazing claps from us so that he can hear them in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to add one more to that.
Please do.
Because I saw there was a big article today about LGBT people that lost their lives on that day. And I'm not going to read the whole thing. I just want to point out that Father Michael F. Fudge was the silver-haired chaplain of the Fire Department of New York, and he also lost his life on that day. He was actually officially the first declared victim at Ground Zero. While burning debris filled the air and steam beams melted under apocalyptic heat, the priest took off his helmet and belt and knelt beside a mortally wounded firefighter to administer his last rites. As he knelt, debris crashed down from one of the towers above, and it struck and killed him. Very sad, of course, but it's important to point out that Judge's friend, in the community was reaching out and speaking about him, and he was saying in the early days of the AIDS epidemic, when many priests were, at best, silent on the issues, Judge was one of the small pool of priests who would preside over gay men's funerals. So he was one person who wasn't sitting back and was sitting there to make sure that these men and women were had their proper burial. So it's a sad note, but I really wanted to point it out because that's another angel right there.
Well, I mean, they're both sad notes, but I think It's important to acknowledge the people that have not only supported our community, but the American people as a whole.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yes.
All right. Well, we have some announcements. Nicholas, you have an announcement of something coming up on Thursday?
Yeah. So we talked about this earlier on the show, but I wanted to plug it one more time. So Pride Weekend is kicking off in New Haven this week.
Absolutely.
This weekend. And we're going to start it with Small Mouth Sounds, which is a show at Long Wharf Theater on Thursday, 9/14. This will be same event as previous years. It's a fully catered cocktail reception, and it's packaged with a show ticket and a drink voucher for only $45. $45, people.
$45. It is absolutely affordable.
Mm-hmm. Tom and I will be there.
Absolutely.
The reception will begin at 6:30 p.m., and the show itself begins at 8 p.m. You can get your tickets at www.longwharf.org/pride-night.
Yes. Plus Friday night additional kickoffs for the rest of the events that are happening. We have our comedian that we had on the show who's going to be doing a show at the
I'll pull it up. And in between, I'll just sing you a song. Sing us a song. You're the piano man. Here are the Pride events for you. All right. So Friday, September 15th is the opening reception and a queer art show from 5:30 to 7 p.m. at City Hall, 165 Church Street.
Yes.
Then Queer Queens of Comedy at 10:30. And that's going to be at Lyric Hall.
Lyric Hall.
I was going to guess it, too.
27 Whaley Avenue with Poppy Champlin.
Yes, who we had on the show. Hilarious.
And then that evening, the Pride kickoff party from 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. at Partners Cafe.
We work there.
Saturday.
Fuckers.
Saturday, September 16th, there will be a Pride March. It's a 5K walk at 10 a.m. It starts at New Haven Pride Center, which is at 84 Orange Street.
Is that like a hard 10 a.m. or can you roll in around noon?
Chris, you can roll in whenever you get there.
Okay.
All right.
He'll be at the finish line waiting with a beer in his hand.
Well, and then following the walk, there's the Pride Block Party, and that's from 4 to 10, again, by the Pride Center. It's at Center Street.
Yep.
And then afterwards, there will be a Pride After Party at Gotham City, Center Street. And then Sunday, September 17th, Pride Drag Brunch, and that's going to be at Barracuda Bistro and Bar, and that's 1180 Chapel Street. And to end it all, we're doing a Sunday tea dance, and that's at 168 York Street Cafe.
I used to work there.
Yeah.
And that'll be hosted by the one and only Danny Lyons.
And then when you're done there doing that nice, amazing little barbecue, come on over to Partners Cafe and enjoy some great karaoke.
Yes.
So, oh my God, we're like literally just plugged the entire city. Great. One more thing. September 25th, our live show at Partners Cafe. Mm-hmm. Make sure that you guys come out. Everything starts at 6:30. You'll be able to do a meet and greet, sit down with us, talk to us. We'll start recording the show. We're doing some amazing giveaways. We've got tickets to the Robin Banks show coming on your way. We have a gift certificate to actually Barracuda Bar and Bistro, another gift certificate. We'll be raffling off two $50 cash prizes as well, as we always do, because we just appreciate people who come out and watch our live shows.
Mm-hmm. And last time, our furthest traveler was from Buffalo, so let's see who can top that.
Well, he's coming.
He's going to be back.
Yes, he will.
Excellent.
He said he's coming down for that show, and he'll be with us. So, David, thank you for being a super fan. And for anyone else who wants to come down, whether you're near or far, you're more than welcome. We love to have you and chat with you. And stay tuned for that. It's going to be an amazing live episode. And then we're going to do another one, hopefully in November at Club Trevi. I think we tried to do it in October, but things are just not working out logistically. But we're going to continue to engage our community in what we know how to do best.
Mm-hmm.
So here's some information for you. If you love the show, you can help us in one of three ways to let others know about the show and ensure it becomes more visible within our podcasting community. The first is you can subscribe to the show. By doing so, you can get the latest and greatest of our show delivered right to your favorite device or web browser as soon as the episode is published, or you can listen live on Digital Stream Radio.
Yes!
You can rate and review our show. You can do so on iTunes, on the Apple Podcast app. You can go on Google Play Music for our Android listeners, as well as Stitcher Radio, Tuned In, Podbean, and any favorite podcasting app of choice. You can support us on Patreon. With Patreon, you, our listener, can help support the show with a pledge donation. Those donations are collected monthly and can be in any denomination of a dollar or more. Christopher?
And next week, we welcome Anthony Starbel, the artist behind the song We Need to Be Loved, which we have featured on our break. Make sure to tune in and learn more about this young, talented man and his work.
Yes, queen!
I can't with you two.
So thank you to our guest, Jason Davis.
Three times.
For
always.
Always. I always do it.
I know.
Wait, are you guys making fun of me?
Earlier.
That's not right. So thank you to our guest six times, Jason Davis, for joining us on today's show for his book, My Pops a Top. It's available at Barnes & Noble and clearly on Amazon. We'll figure that one out.
Yeah.
But it was wonderful having him on the show. And I do want to give one more plug to Liza Jane Chronicles, who posted on our Facebook page that she loves our show. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Liza.
She's a new listener. We got her from TDI.
Really?
Yep.
Awesome. Well, welcome to the craziness, Liza.
Yes.
Christopher.
Alrighty, guys. Shall we put a rubber on it?
Let's rubber it up.
Okay. As always, our show is available on our website, gaytalk20.com, under show and episodes. It is also available as a free download on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Stitcher Radio.
Don't fuck it up.
Nick announces! You can find us on social media. Facebook, Gay Talk 2.0. Instagram, Gay Talk 2.0.
Nailed it!
Twitter, at Gay Talk 20. You can email us at gaytalk2.0@gmail.com. Tom, take it away.
All right. If you need to reach out to us, you can just head on over to our website, click on the Contact Us tab, which is basically at the top of your web browser. You can leave comments, suggest topics, submit a question for the cast, or submit a question for an individual host. You can also call us. You can send us a voicemail with a question. We can answer it for you on the show. Those numbers to call us is 334-GAY-TALK, or if you need all those digits, it's 334-429-8255. As we said before, we stream live every Monday night at 6:30-ish on digitalstreamradio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, that is our show, and y'all have a fantastic night.
Bye!
Thank you for listening to this episode of Gay Talk 2.0. Tune in next time for more dish.